This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Germany's foreign minister said today President Trump's policies are short-sighted and have weakened the West. It's just the latest criticism of the American leader from Europeans who've begun calling on their continental neighbors to stand on their own and rely less on the U.S. Here is correspondent Rich Edson.
He challenged Europe to accept more responsibility. And following President Trump's first overseas trip, European leaders appear to have received that message.
The times in which we can fully count on others are somewhat over, as I've experienced in the past few days.
A trip that began with an opulent embrace of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia ended with a scolding of European democracies. In a speech last week to NATO, the president chided allies for failing to meet agreed-upon spending guidelines, that the 28 NATO members would spend at least 2% of the size of their economies on defense. Only five do so.
Other member nations must pay more. The U.S. is currently paying much more than any other nation, and that is not fair to the United States or the United States taxpayer.
President Trump also failed to explicitly mention the U.S. commitment to Article 5, a section of NATO's treaty stating an attack on one NATO country is an attack on all. However, senior administration officials later confirmed the U.S. is committed to NATO and its defense. Merkel says Europeans will maintain friendships with the United States and Great Britain, even as the United Kingdom negotiates its withdrawal from the European Union, though she is encouraging a stronger Europe.
We have to know that we have to fight for our future and our fate ourselves as Europeans.
The president also shared a tense, lengthy handshake with newly elected French President Emmanuel Macron. He told a French publication, quote, "My handshake with President Trump was not innocent, not the alpha and the omega of a policy, but a moment of truth. We must show that we will not make small concessions, even symbolic ones." President Trump says he will decide this week whether he will withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Agreement on climate change. Merkel says the G7 conversation with President Trump on that topic amounted to 6-1.
You know, gosh, there's so much in there. Scott Macron, really? You're going to sit there and be arrogant? You know, I think he's going to rue the day, you know, for that kind of comment and suggestion here. He needs allies right now.
Well,
you know,
think about a lot of the most recent attacks. They've been happening in England, and they've been happening in France.
Yes.
Pretty consistently.
Yeah.
What happens if we just decide, you know what, figure it out?
Well, yeah, I mean, and even you have Merkel going, we're going to have to go it on our own. Okay, well, let's see what happens that, you know, you're paying 1.2% for NATO. You really want to take on, you know, somebody by yourself with that kind of, or all of a sudden you're gonna have the money, you know, to come up with some military force. Well, you know, is she saying that she doesn't want, you know, she doesn't believe in Article 5?
Well, yeah. I equate this to, you know, my sisters. My parents paid my sister's phone bill forever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Finally, my parents were like, well, we don't need to pay that. You can pay that now. And I remember how mad my sisters got. They were all mad because they all had to pay for their phone.
Instead of being grateful for all the years having it paid for, right? Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And that's what this feels like to me. He said, pay.
Yeah.
Pay your part.
Well, you know, and Tillerson was just there, last month, saying, guys, you got to pay up. And he said, well, nobody asked us. And it was all taken in stride. Now, Donald Trump says this, and, of course, our mainstream media, because it's anti-Trump no matter what, they got to make a big deal out of it. But it's like, wait a minute. Hey, this is the people's money. This is, you know, coming out of our coffers. And as Donald Trump says, and Main Street America is standing up and giving him an ovation, saying, thank God somebody's watching out for the little guy, and saying, look, you know, it's not fair to mainstream America that they carry the weight for you. What are they getting out of it? Even if they come overseas, they still got to pay your VAT tax and everything, right? This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Got to stay focused, ladies and gentlemen. You know, kind of like we were talking with Liz Peek. You know, I know this is the question that comes up all the time, is that what can we do about it? The elites are still running the parade here, and they're doing it at our expense. They're still getting paid. Their health care is still covered, all that good stuff. What do they care? Meanwhile, we keep working hard going, what's happening with our government? You know, we're paying for this kind of incompetency and this obstructionism that's going on. Is this right? I'm telling you, I think we need to come down. We need to set up a day, one day, and we start slamming the phones. Every patriotic American that has had it with the inefficiencies of this government, you know, you call your senator, you call your congressman, and you let them know under no uncertain terms. Not a long conversation, just short, sweet, to the point. Enough of this already. Get our government back on track. Do your job. I am sick and tired of paying for your paycheck, putting the money there that supports your paycheck and all the benefits you get along that you get with it. And this is what you give us: inefficiency, incompetency, fraud, waste, and the whole list. Short, sweet, to the point. We're going to set a day. I think this is what we need to do. Lest I get too excited here, let's bring on Peter Pitts, president, co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Peter, thank you for being with us. Always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing terrific, although I'm increasingly annoyed at the inefficiency of our government. We're caught up in a big bucket of gum here at the people's expense, and we're doing anything but getting this country back on track. And I just... you know, if there was real reason behind this, Peter, if it was something that at the end of all this fit and frustration and expense, that there was something positive out of it, I'd say, okay, it's part of the process. But it just seems to be such a waste of time and so self-serving and anti-we the people.
Well, you know, I think there's a little bit of good news amongst that bad news. I think you're right. I think, you know, we get caught up in these trivial issues that appear on the front page of the New York Times. And the big picture is missing. I mean, certainly healthcare, that's the truth. I think, you know, the little piece of good news is rather than arguing about more government, we're arguing about how much less government, at least in healthcare. So it's a step in the right direction.
Right.
Even that's a battle because you get, it's one step, it's two steps forward, one step backwards, you know, at every turn. And I think you're right. We need to kind of point out to the folks in D.C. that they need to get on with it, that it can't be business as usual, even if we're beginning to turn our heads look at the sunshine.
Exactly. Well, and I would agree there is some, there could be some hope here with healthcare. To me, the ultimate would be as if the federal government gets out of it totally. I think they're mistooled to be able to handle a national health program because the answer is single payer. And this is going to be the big question, you know, for the people. I mean, heretofore, as much as they understand, single payer is not where they want to go. Because then that really is a total takeover by the government. But how many of their fingers can we wrestle away you know, from the solution to our healthcare problem here in this country.
Well, you know, it's amazing how people tend to ignore the facts, even though they stare them in the face. I think it was 1 or 2 years ago, the governor, the Democratic governor of Vermont, a Bernie Sanders supporter, mm-hmm. you know, when he was running for election, said, I'm going to do a single-payer system in Vermont. And then when he got the bill, he realized he was going to have to raise taxes in Vermont upwards of 20 to 25%. He ditched it.
Yes.
And that exact same conversation is happening in California right now. The California legislature wants to put forward a single-payer system, but it's going to cost the state about $25 billion and have to raise taxes about 20%. No one's talking about that. So, you know, if we want less government, you know, that's one thing. If we want more government, we have to accept the price tag that goes along with that. And we have to be honest, you know, and obviously the people that want policy positions have a very uncomfortable way of leaving out the tough facts. But, you know, you have to look at the whole picture and then make your choices accordingly. You know, I mean, if people want broad access to mediocre care that's going to raise their taxes 20%, that's the way to be positioned. If they want to accept personal responsibility and move healthcare closer to the state level, we need to accept that too and have a real honest debate about what it brings and what it doesn't bring.
Well, and that's the challenge because, you know, the Democrats behind Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi's world famous comment about we have to pass it to see what's in it, it was so ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, talk about transparency. Lack thereof, I mean, that was it. And everything that the president had promised, President Obama promised about it, was just the opposite. It was typical Washington, D.C. speak. And in your recent column, you're talking about price transparency, about being honest. Is that even possible in this political environment in which we live in?
Well, if we want to avoid the facts, if we want to avoid transparency, we can continue pointing fingers and, you know, scoring daily political points in the newspapers or and on blogs. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, listen, you know, this whole thing is an ecosystem. It's complicated. And we all have to work together to make it better. And it may not actually end up being less expensive. But by all means, let's at least spend money, you know, for good rather than, you know, flushing it down the toilet, which is a lot of what's going on right now. You know, we can't play good guys and bad guys here. We all have a piece of the solution. We all own parts of the problem. And unless we work together, all it's going to be is a gotcha game for getting reelected rather than actually fixing the problem. And that, I know that sounds naive, but that's kind of where we're stuck.
Well, Peter, I've had a lot of conversations with direct pay medical people and doctors that are doing this, and I think this could be a big future and possibility of taking a number. I'd say even if we took a third of America and could offer direct pay medical delivery to a third of America, that takes pressure off this big scheme of things and where people are responsible. You know, this direct pay model in some cases average about $50 a month is what they're paying. They get as many office visits. They've renegotiated their prescriptions to where it's 10 cents on the dollar. Who wouldn't want that?
Well, I think, you know, everything sounds good, you know, when you model it. And if we mm-hmm. want to have a single-payer system, or at least an option for like a Medicare for all proposition, you know, what we also need is to allow private insurance companies to sell their policies across state lines.
Exactly.
Because if the government can recognize the economy at scale by doing something like Medicare for everybody, private insurance companies should have that same opportunity and give people choices, you know, rather than limiting what they can get to one buyer. Mm-hmm. So again, like you said, you know, there are lots of pieces here that can be brought together. So on the one hand, a lot of people on the left don't like allowing insurance companies to sell across state lines, but they like a Medicare for all proposition. But it's really the same thing if you think about it. The government is one big insurance company.
Yeah, exactly.
Offers Medicare for all. So let's let some free market competition into the discussion.
Yeah, why don't we just, yeah, exactly. If we let the free market resolve this, we've seen this time and again, Peter, it always works to everybody's benefit. But right now, when it's so mired in politics, and everybody wants, you know, the Democrats want credit, the Republicans want credit. What about we the people? I mean, we're suffering because these people are more, you know, they're having a tug of war over who gets credit for coming up with a solution instead of the free market. Go figure, which I think could resolve this pretty quick if it was allowed to be unleashed. What do you say?
I agree with that 1,000%.
Well, Peter Pitts has been with us. Always good to have his insight. Peter, how can people be in touch with you and find out what's going on?
Well, thanks. I invite you to look at our website, which is cmpi.org, Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Lots of good stuff there, and we'd invite your listeners to have a look and join the fight.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Even if there is a hole in your bucket kind of day, you know, because we got to celebrate those kind of days, Scott. So it's important. And you were right. You knew the origin of it. I mean, that goes back a ways there. I guess maybe it was one of those, school things that you were taught and you still remember, much to your teacher's credit. Why not? Bill Martinez live here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, coming at you fresh every week. Go ahead. You got a comment real quick?
I was going to say my math teacher would be a little bit disappointed, though.
Well, Well, that's a whole other story, and we'll deal with that with when math day comes up. You know, remember your old math teacher day or something like that. You know, that undoubtedly it will come up. We've got Samantha Mills. That's the giggling in the background you hear. It's always good to have Sam here, kind of have a respite from all this heavy political stuff that's going on and things in the culture and all these tussles and everything. And Sam blesses us every week because she works so hard to get all these great stories together. These are stories that, have gone viral. People are talking about them. I mean, they're sharing them, sending them all over the place. They have millions of viewers on it. And the first one she has for us about a Good Samaritan. I mean, here it was Memorial Day. And this Good Samaritan buys a plane ticket for a soldier so he can visit his family over this this holiday weekend. You know, we say it's a holiday. I really think we were talking a lot about this yesterday, Sam. Is that it really is hard for me when I hear people say Happy Memorial Day. And I think you and I have talked about this before, is that we had to come up with a better salutation than Happy Memorial Day. It just doesn't seem right. And it's such a hallowed day, you know, a holy day when you think about what it's all about. Because when it's treated in the sense of like a joyful kind of event and the holiday sales and the discounts and, you know, all the hot dog parties and all that stuff come into play. But what's missed is the significance of what Memorial Day is all about. And that is, it's not to honor veterans. It's to honor those that have given their lives on behalf of freedom, who've served in the military. I mean, and there's over a million. I think it was 1.1, maybe probably about 1.2 million Americans combined in all the wars that we've been in, all the conflicts that have died serving our country. Those are the ones. And as we were saying yesterday, for the families who have lost a loved one serving this country, every day is Memorial Day for them. And right. When you think about that, it really, to me, adds some significance, and as I said, holiness to the day, as much as it can be. And I think it's a hallowed day to respect. But anyway, tell us about this Good Samaritan. What a great deal he did for this soldier.
Well, Keaton Tilson is a U.S. Army mechanic, and he's from Granite City, Illinois. And he had spent the past 2 days on Memorial Weekend trying to catch a standby flight from Dallas to see his family for the weekend. Oh, wow. And, soldiers get a standby flight if the one's available, but the chances of it being available on such a busy weekend were... Yeah. kind of slim. Right. So that's when a stranger stepped in at the Dallas airport. He was another Missouri resident. His name was Josh Rainey, and he offered to give up his ticket. But the flight or the attendants told him that actually wouldn't be allowed. So Keaton was disappointed, but they shook hands and went on his way. Well, Josh Rainey just couldn't get it out of his mind, the soldier wanting to go home and see his family. And so he called his wife, which is what he said he always does in one of these situations. Mm. And they decided the best thing for them to do would be to buy a ticket for Keaton.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what they did. He bought a ticket for Keaton. And he said when he got the hug from Keaton, it was all worth it. He said it was one of the best things he's ever done. And he has the receipt on his refrigerator now to remind him of the generosity and the giving back that he felt. And he's gotten calls from Keaton's family and everything else thanking him. Sometimes when we give to others, it gives so much back to us, it doesn't even feel,
it's
a sacrifice.
We're always told, Sam, that it's better to give than to receive. And here it is in this particular case that brings this to mind. Now, another sweet story. You got a 98-year-old who's written nearly 7,000 letters to troops overseas. He says, I'm going to write as long as I can. 98 years old.
Wow. 98 years old. Uh-huh. Aileen Cooper, she's from California, and she started writing these letters to different deployed troops overseas back in World War II. And each of her letters is about 4 pages long, and she said every one of them is different. And she writes to people she's never even met. She's received flags and she's received awards from them thanking her, or, from these guys that she's been writing. 7,000 letters. Can you imagine such a thing?
Wow. Talk about the ultimate pen pal, right?
I know. Absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like she's writing wonderful letters. She tells them about her day. She'll insert some comic strips and do different things like that. And she wrote her own son during Vietnam War. But sometimes when those guys are deployed to certain stations, you know, there's letters are the only form of communication they can get from home.
You have no idea what a letter means. When I was in boot camp, to get a letter, you know, from home and that, it was really cool. Except when you're in the Marine Corps and your well-thinking mom sends you a bag of Oreos, you don't want to do that.
Anybody else wanting them?
Well, usually what happens, the DI will make you get in front of everybody and eat the entire box.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the way we rolled in San Diego. I know in some cases they broke it out, shared it with everybody. You got one cookie and everybody else got them all. But in this particular case, this private had to sit in front of us and eat the entire box. And you're just sitting there going, where's the milk?
Oh, that poor guy. He didn't even have any milk to go.
No. Are you kidding? Not even a canteen of water or nothing. You just sit there. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So you got to be careful about what you pass on. A Chinese mom refuses to give up disabled son, nurtures him all the way to Harvard.
That's right. This woman's son, his name's Ding Ding. He was born disabled in China.
His name is what? What was his name?
Ding Ding.
Ding Ding?
Ding
Ding? Ding Ding? Ding Ding. Okay.
Yep.
I thought that's what
right.
you said. And I thought you were sweet-talking Scott again, so I didn't know.
No, that's the right name. I double-checked. And okay. So his mom, he was born in 1988. There were some complications during his birth.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up with cerebral palsy. And she was encouraged to give him up. And her husband actually agreed with her. And, you know, he wanted to give him up. It led to their divorce. But his mom, Ding Ding's mom, stuck with him.
See, and you have to put this in context here, because this is China. This is a one-child policy, right? So the
right.
only son you have is disabled.
Right.
You know, what
right.
kind of impact does that have on the family, understanding that that's it? You only got one kid. It's a son, you know, and for Chinese families, if you have a son, you know, that's part of the winning ticket, right? Is having a son as opposed to a daughter. But you have a son that's damaged, now that's a problem.
Right. And they said, you know, just the fact that she was encouraged to give him up, you know, that's something that for many of us is unimaginable. So her name was Zhao, and she decided from the moment that she had him, you know, she was going to spend her life making sure he would overcome all these odds. So she worked with him. She taught him to use chopsticks, which was extremely difficult for him at first.
Yeah,
and she pushed him extra hard, you know, when it came to his academics. And she learned to massage his muscles herself and help him in every way she could. And, you know, so he ended up going to school in China. And he graduated from there. And he said he had never had any, he never imagined that he would go to Harvard. But his mom kept pushing him, and she believed in him. And he just graduated at 29 years old from Harvard. The support of his mom, can you imagine how strong of a woman she must have been? She had to work multiple jobs just to get him through, through in his life. And, you know, kudos to moms like her.
Wow, what a team there. Well, congratulations to both of them. Hey, we're going to wrap it up with this story about a woman who finds that her fake diamond ring. She thought it was fake, but what happened? Tell us the whole truth.
This is going to have everybody digging through their closets.
A woman in
London actually bought a diamond ring, a fake diamond ring she bought at a boot sale, which is like a flea market sale here.
Mm-hmm.
And she wore it for 30 years doing everything, and until a jeweler said, you know, you might want to get that checked. It turned out to be over 26 carats. It was a real diamond, and the reason you didn't know is because it was cut in the 19th century.
You see, 25 cents just doesn't get you what it used to back then. You know? Samantha Mills Mao on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Sam.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us for the ride. And I just want to let you know that May 31st this year is World Multiple Sclerosis Day. And more than 400,000 Americans are living with this chronic disabling disease that attacks the central nervous system. People with MS often have to make lifestyle changes that can impact their employment circumstances, social life, stress levels, and cause feelings of unpredictability and fear. To give MS patients and caregivers an outlet to express their feelings about their journey, EMD Serono created My Story. It's an online platform offered through MS Lifelines that helps people impacted by MS create and share their stories. MS Lifelines has provided education and support to people with MS for more than 15 years now. Wow. On World MS Day, and all year long, anyone impacted by MS is encouraged to share their journey through My Story. And with us right now, a husband and wife team, Carrie and David. Carrie is the one with MS. She is an ambassador. And Carrie's husband, also an MS ambassador. Carrie and David, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, Bill. Nice to be here.
Well, good to have you here to tell your story, Carrie. I'm going to bring you on first, so tell us your story.
Well, I was diagnosed in 2002 with relapsing MS, and I basically, my daughter was 11 months old, so when we first got that diagnosis, it was, I think the first thing we dealt with was fear. We had a lot of things going on. We didn't know a lot about MS, so things were kind of scary for us at the time, to be real honest with you. So we found that knowledge is power, and so we found the more that we knew about it, the more prepared we felt for the future. Like I said, my daughter was 11 months old at the time, so we didn't really know what the future held. And so it was kind of a scary time, but we found we got on a good treatment and just found that as time went on, being able to share my story with other people and through our journey and the things that we've gone through, that it's been actually very helpful for us to share our story with other people and to help encourage them, people that are maybe going through a similar situation.
Exactly. And David, as a caretaker, your story, though related, is unique to you. So what was the impetus behind sharing your story?
Well, I wanted to help Carrie. But I felt, well, what can I do as a caregiver? I thought, my gosh, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. So at first I felt so not really helpless or inferior, but I just didn't have any knowledge of MS. So Carrie and I started immediately going to patient programs, and the more we begin to hear the doctors talk and the nurses talk and really see the valid information at these programs, I noticed that I began to have more confidence in things that I could do as a caregiver because of knowledge. And like Carrie said, we were just so overwhelmed at first with fear, but the more knowledge that I began to gain, the less fear that was a less motivating part of our lives. And I thought, well, gosh, there are things I can do, even though I'm not a doctor or a nurse. And I, you know, begin to just listen more. I always tell people, you know, God gave us two eyes, two ears, but one mouth. Yeah. And so I begin to listen more and just observe Carrie. And I realized, well, gosh, our daughter was one at the time when Carrie was first diagnosed. And I got a crash course in baby diaper changing, cooking, cleaning, and I became a really good housewife, in other words, you know. But I feel that, and also through communication, it's so important to be able to communicate with the communication with the caregiver and the patient. And I thought, you know, we can do this. And we've done this. It's been 23 years, and we're still communicating, and we're still doing what we do, right?
And chapters are still being written here between the two of you, right? Exactly.
Life.
That's awesome. Carrie, you're a musician, a new mother. You're living with MS, diagnosed shortly after, as you said, your daughter was born. And, gosh, you just had to feel your life was being taken over by this disease. But as you so clearly said, there's nothing like education to cast out some fear here as you started to, you know, pull back and deal with this step by step, you know, pragmatically, but that just had to be overwhelming at times.
It was. I mean, there were times that were really difficult, especially at first. And I do have to say that being able to share my story with other people really helped me to kind of get through some of those difficult times at the beginning, because obviously I have a wonderful husband and he's very supportive, and so that's really helped to get through all those difficult times, but also to just be able to share what we've gone through with other people to maybe encourage them and let them know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you're not alone. There are other people that go through similar situations, and you can come out on the other side and be more empowered for the journey.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So we've found there are struggles. You know, I'm not going to lie. I have bad days, and that's just part of the deal. But for the most part, we've found that our story is a very positive story.
Yeah.
So we're very blessed that way.
David, you know, Carrie's very honest here in saying, you know, you have bad days. You can only imagine. How do you deal with those bad days?
Well, I'd like to go back to the first bad day, Bill. This is actually kind of funny. When I went to the hospital to see her that one night, she was having problems with her eyes and focusing. And I'll never forget this, because this is still, this was, you know, years ago, but it's still just as vivid as it was the day that this happened. I went to the hospital, and I remember she was having just really serious problems with her eyes and focusing. And I remember this. I kissed her, and I said, "You're still beautiful."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well," she said, "I don't feel beautiful, and I see two of you." And I said, "Well, I love you, and my friend here with me, he loves you too." And we went from crying. We were crying three minutes before, and 3 minutes after, we're laughing, you know, because my buddy, he loved it too. So I mean, she just fell out laughing. And humor, I got to say that humor is still
a big part.
We've been married 23 years, and a big part of our life has been humor.
Yes, we laugh every day.
And we found sometimes, you know, just being able to laugh, not at each other, but with each other. And
exactly.
That particular time with her eye problems she was having, we were crying, but I could make her laugh too. So.
Yeah.
And we still laugh.
Yeah.
Well, Kerry, he's pretty sharp that he could come up with that that return line.
He's quick, I'll tell you. He's quick.
But like you said, that's great medicine. Laughter is great medicine. And here you are just, as David said, minutes before, you're crying, dealing with the impact of this MS diagnosis. And and leave it to David to lighten up the moment, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, he's always been able to make me laugh, and so you know, when we've gone through some of our hardest times, we're able to still get through it, and with each other, and then to just learn to laugh. It's been very helpful for us, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. David, where can someone go to share their story?
To mslifeline.com/mystory. And Kerry, matter of fact, Kerry's story,
my story is there,
and mine is too, and we enjoyed that so much, Sherry.
Yeah.
We love doing these patient programs also, because it gives us a chance to maybe impart a little knowledge to patients and caregivers.
Yeah, so you can go to, as David said, mslifelines.com/mystory and see our stories there. And then also you can share your story there.
Mm.
So any other people that are living with MS or a caregiver to a person living with MS. So it's a great resource.
Kerry, after all that you've gone through, we're going to wrap it up and let you do this. What's the big takeaway for you? What would you tell others?
I think be encouraged. I think that's the one thing that David and I try to do in any time that we share our stories. We're both members of old car clubs. We love the classic cars. So even if we're in a parking lot looking at old cars, if we have a chance to talk to someone that's dealing with MS or knows someone that has MS, we always encourage them, don't give up. Always remember there are other people out there that are support system for you. And just always be encouraged and know that there are other people that you can talk to.
Exactly. Well, we got to leave it there. Thank you so much as we wrap it up. Kerry and David, Kerry is the patient, but don't tell her that. She has MS. She's an ambassador. Kerry's husband is also an MS ambassador. Thank you so much for being.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
And the question is, do they exist with you? Okay, if we're going to get this country back on track, we need to bring back some of those old fuddy-duddy, as some people might say, those values. But this is, you know, this is part and parcel to the foundation of our country. It's part and parcel to, you know, really what makes individuals great in this country. And I don't know what any other country in the world you go to and have a fair shot at being successful to that end, if you know what I'm talking about. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now. I am Bill Martinez. We come to you fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, I want to talk about the Shack, okay? We had listeners that we were able to treat with free tickets to enjoy the Shack, and the response was absolutely awesome. Of course, this was a book that just, you know, best-selling book that it was inspired by. And we're going to be talking to the director, Stuart Hazeldine, in just a moment. But just to put this in perspective, The Shack had a phenomenal theatrical run, earning the fourth biggest opening weekend ever for a faith-based film, just behind The Passion of the Christ, Son of God, and Heaven is for Real. It has sparked numerous conversations about God, hope, forgiveness, and love. And, of course, we hope it continues. With us, as promised right now, is Stuart Hazeldine. Stuart, you're about ready to celebrate another birthday here just around the corner, huh?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, well, good for you. I'm going to say happy birthday early to you, okay? Is that all right?
Thank you. We're releasing The Shack in the UK, like, the day before my birthday.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's great. Well, we've got Blu-ray DVD being released today, so now available for people to go out there and enjoy it at home, in the comfort of their home, their own popcorn, their own drinks, and all that good stuff. But were you surprised by the response, Stuart?
Well, I guess, you know, you get a little inkling because you know how much people love the movie, love the book. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, many of us who were in development on the movie were aware that when we mentioned that we were working on a movie of The Shack, people's eyes would bug out and they'd be like, really? Like, that book changed my life. And in the bizarrest places, you'd be sitting in a bar in an airport terminal somewhere and you'll mention it to a bartender and they'll be like, oh, The Shack, my wife loved that, and et cetera. So you become aware of the responsibility to do a good version of it. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, any book that sells 22, 25 million copies, you have a responsibility. But for people who love this book, it's more than a book. It's like a whole new way of looking at the faith that they've always had. It's just kind of looking into the same thing through another window. And I guess for some, they felt like it was a cleaner window and allowed them to interact with God in a way they hadn't done so before. So it's, you know, it was a great honor to be able to do that.
Well, I have to say to you, I had several friends who lost children, and without hesitation, each of them, and they're devout Christians, and you know as well as I do, some Christians were uncomfortable with a bit of the storyline and what the shack presented. But yet millions of people responded in buying the book. But in each of the cases of people who had lost loved ones, they said to me, they said, Bill, you have no idea what the shack, what the story, the book meant to us and how it comforted us and got us through the most difficult time in our life. I mean, they had nothing but praises and appreciation. And then they went to see the movie, and again, it reminded them of, the storyline and, and just comforting, some wounds that, as one of my dear friends says, when you lose a child, you never get over it. You just get through it.
Exactly. And I think that's the message of the movie, is it's not some kind of Disney-fied thing that sort of gives you any sense that you were raised a loss. How could you ever erase the loss of a child or something that came from you? It's just about a guy who is able to find a way forward and find some joy in life, despite the fact that you do carry around this scar on your heart, which will always be there and needs to be there. Because it's, none of us are promised a life without pain.
Right.
So really, a fully lived life is a life that includes pain, but where we know that God is not above our pain, that God comes down and enters into our suffering, which is exactly what Christ did by choosing to come in the flesh, to get down in the mud with us so that none of us can say, you don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah, I hung on a cross. I know exactly what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Stuart, how did this project come to you?
It was kind of strange. I was mostly a screenwriter writing film scripts before I became a director. And when the book was a 2 million selling hit and not a 22 million selling phenomenon, there was going to be a smaller, fully sort of space-based, not connected to Hollywood at all version. And the director I kind of knew, and he called me and said, do you want to write this for me? And I'd heard people discussing the shack at my church in London. It's, gone all over the world pretty much within Christian communities.
Right.
So that was my excuse to read the book. And I thought it was a great cinematic concept. As a filmmaker, I love the idea that you could actually see and talk to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because, film's a visual medium and God's a spirit, so he's invisible. And it was a great way to do that. But it was a very talky book. It was kind of a conversations with God sort of thing with a wrapping a story. And I'm sure the author, Paul, who's now a friend of mine, would admit to that. So I didn't immediately have a cinematic vision for it. And so I said no, and then a couple of years later, a big producer who made The Life of Pi and The Blind Side, a guy called Gil Netter, picked up the book. And I knew that he knew what he was doing. I'd worked with him as a writer before, and he has a great sense for story and for emotion. And he had a script. So he kind of mentioned it to me on a phone call and said, I'm doing this thing called The Shack. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. And, I go to church. I get that. And he's like, well, maybe you want to read it and give me your thoughts. And that's when I started to see the vision of the movie. The script was really good. And I could see the finish line. I could see what it needed doing. And it just kind of sucked me in. And then the chance to direct it came up, and I pitched how I would do it. And I guess he and the studio felt like, we'll take a chance on this young guy.
Right. Wow, what a great opportunity. Did you kind of feel, here you are, you're dealing cinematically in directing the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did you feel like you're on really hallowed ground here as you're directing this?
I definitely did. I went in, I wasn't the guy who 100% was cool with everything in the shack. I had questions about things, and I sat with the author a few weeks before we started shooting, and I said, look, I don't necessarily understand some of these things, and I have some issues with a few of these things. The reason I'm doing this is because I really believe that it puts across God's heart of love for his creations. Whether it puts across his whole character, I'm not entirely sure right now, but my gut says do this and don't. I didn't want to look at it with the glass as half empty, as I think some people have done with this project. I wanted to look at it with the glass half full of this. It has such an amazing transformative effect on so many people, not just people who've gone through loss, but just people who just were having a disconnect with God, and it showed them a face of God that I think is there in Scripture that they maybe weren't seeing, they were losing sight of. And I just thought, just because I don't understand a few things, I don't want to stand back from that. And it is one of those stories that I think kind of shows up whether you are a glass half full or a glass half empty person. Some people are like, unless the theology is perfect, I won't read this, I won't watch this. And fine, you know, I'm not going to judge that, but I think that they may be missing something wonderful. And so for me, I just wanted to jump in. And the author was cool with that. He just shrugged and said, that's cool, man. You're on a journey. I'm just so flattered that you want to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he loved the way the movie turned out, and I'm pretty happy with it, too.
Well, that's a pretty honest response. I mean, because here you are. I mean, you're talking, hey, here's a job. I mean, you know, big opportunity to be in directing this project. And to say, you know, I still, there's things I don't understand. I mean, there's things about the Bible I don't understand, you know,
yeah.
And here you are, you're talking, I mean, that could have gone sideways really quick for you where they said, well, if you're not all in and you can't drink the grape juice, then, you know, we don't want you part of the party here, right?
I agree. But I think in a weird way, I think the producer liked the fact that I had a good sense, a good understanding of theology myself, and that I had some questions, because he thought, well, if this guy has some questions, then he's going to be part of the police along with me to make sure that we don't go too far off the track. We knew that a bunch of stuff that was kind of controversial from the novel was going to fall away just because you're compressing it. If you shot that book, you know, page for page, it would be a 10-hour long movie. So, but
it'd be epic.
Yeah, it would be epic. It would be the Shackford TV series. But, you know, in terms of, like, the central through line, you know, it's still controversial for some people because everyone has a slightly different idea of who God is and what they think God is and what they think God's character is. And, you know, the book takes a perspective which really says that God the Father looks exactly like Jesus, that if Jesus does it, God the Father's doing it. If Jesus doesn't do it, then God the Father's not doing it.
Right.
Some people believe that. Many Christians believe that. But other Christians, they kind of have this suspicion that Jesus is the good cop version of God, and that God the Father's like a big black bad cop, like a shadow behind Jesus, and that he's the one who's really going to come and judge you and punish you forever. And, you know, that was the version of God that the author grew up with that really broke him as a person. And it was the loving God who looks just like Jesus who knitted him back together again and restored his faith. And I just happened to come down on that side of the fence. I'm like, Jesus says the Father and I are one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I'm just going to go with that. If Jesus says it, I assume that's the way that God the Father is.
Stuart, what did this do as a director? What kind of impact did this movie have on your faith?
You know, it really changed it. I think there were, even though I'm a very questioning person, and I clearly remember storming out of Sunday sermons as a 15-year-old and pacing around a side room arguing with God about this or that thing that I just felt the church wasn't dealing with, or just doing things by rote and giving into cliches. And I really wanted a faith that was robust and credible. Even despite that, there were many areas of my theology that I just wasn't really questioning, that I wasn't really focusing on. And I think the book forced me to look at some of those things. And I got into this thing so late that I didn't get to fully wrestle with them before shooting or even during shooting. It was actually after shooting when I was editing the movie and I had some time back, some evenings and weekends to read. But I ended up reading more about theology than I had as a teenager. I kind of came up to the place in the end where I felt like maybe this is the whole character of God, and maybe I agree with more in the shack than I realized than I did when I read down into the details, which is a weird thing. But, you know, sometimes life works that way, that you do the thing that your gut telling you do, and you only understand why you did it afterwards. It's just a weird way that things work. And that's the way it was for me. So it was a huge leap of faith, but it's something that I feel came off.
Well, one of the anecdotes I hear repeatedly, Stuart, is that when you see this movie, you leave and you're no longer the same. It has that kind of impact. So, great job. Great job on it, Stuart. Hazeldine has been with us, the writer and director of The Shack. Thank you.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Be prepared.